We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello and welcome everybody. This is Redemption Church. If you didn't know that, maybe you're listening, watching online, or maybe you just wandered in and you're like, what is this place? Well, you've wandered into Redemption Church. We are a mighty church of Jesus Christ in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. And I'm excited to be sharing the Word of God with you today. Are you excited?
Yes.
Absolutely. Today we are starting a brand new sermon series entitled Chasing Carrots. You get the reference. Anybody get the reference? Chasing Carrots. I believe it's going to be an important sermon series. I encourage you to make plans to be here every week of this series. If you had a donkey or a horse, or a vegan, and you are trying to get them to go somewhere or do something, you might put a carrot on a stick and put it in front of them, and they will try to get the carrot. But as they carry you along, the carrot is that much further out of their reach. And this is an old trick, right? I've never actually tried it, but I want to tell you that life and culture in this world works a lot like this. That it puts a carrot out in front of you, and it leads you, manipulates you, just like that donkey or horse or that vegan. You just apologize, vegans. I love you. I'm sorry about it, all right? If you could just get this, you'd be happy. This is the idea that we're always told. If you could just get this, then you'd be happy. And that thing dangles out in front of you, and there it is, and you... You know what? You almost got it. You touched it once. You were really close, but it just kind of is always out of your grasp, but it just leads you on and on. But I can't be happy without it, but you just keep trying and try. Anybody have situations in life a little bit like that? They're always just out of your reach. Or if I could get that, I'd be happy. And then you work. You give all your effort. You give all your energy, all your time. You get everything you've got. And then finally, my goodness, you get it. And it's like, oh, goodness. Then you aren't happy because this was not enough. And you thought it was going to make you happy, but it did not make you happy. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this manipulation that we've all fall prey to. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about carrots like money and stuff. We're going to be talking about the idea of perfection. Some of you have been led around by the idea of being the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect son or daughter, the perfect Christian, and it has driven you crazy. You ought to be here for that week. You ought to be for that week, I'm telling you. How about this one, the approval of others? We're going to talk about that. And then the idea of comfort. We're going to be talking about all those things. But today, we're going to be talking about the carrot called fame. Look at somebody, say fame.
Fame.
Most people, in fact, I believe most of you in this room would probably say you're not chasing fame. Am I about right? Yeah, that's not me. Well, don't check out on me today. I want you to think again. Because do you want notable success or achievement in your life? Okay. Well, do you want to be loved and accepted by as few people as possible or as many people as possible? All right, yeah, okay. Do you want to develop a skill and talent that is great enough to be admired? Is that you? Do you want that? Do you want to be known for something? Do you? Do you want to? All right. So this is the definition of fame, the state of being known or talked about by many people, especially on account of notable achievements. Perhaps, I just get past the stigma of this fame thing in church, perhaps on some level, you're seeking fame. Perhaps on some level, you're seeking what other people are thinking about you. And most people here on social media, we're talking our Facebooks, we're talking our Instagrams, we're talking our Snapchat or Twitter, our YouTube. Anybody still on MySpace? I don't know what y'all have got going on, but and you often find yourself thinking on these social medias, this would be a great post. Be honest. Have you ever thought those words? This would be, I got to take a picture of this and share it immediately on the Facebooks so the people that looks at the Facebooks will like my picture or like my thought. Anybody? Let me snap a real quick selfie and then post it, right? So you can get credit for accomplishment. I've caught myself doing that. You're doing something really good for somebody else, changing a tire for somebody else. And oh man, I've done this for somebody else, but it doesn't count, Taria, if no one knows. So I got to post it for people to know that I'm a good person. So you achieve something, right? I climbed a mountain, everybody proud of me, but now I'm doing good things. See, I am a good person. Here's the proof. Here's a picture right here. I am a good person. So that other people could just simply like my photo, like my thought, pat me on the back so I feel good about myself. Have you been on social media? Oh, that never happens on social media, right? No, it's everywhere on social media. I have literally had to counsel with people that were upset that their little thought on Facebook, no one seemed to pay attention to. I've actually had that counseling session. They're not in the room. I love you if you are listening to this, but that is some fame seeking. And in the day of social media, we're eaten up with it. So that might be you also. You just think about that for a little bit. There have been times in my life where I felt the draw of this would make a great post. I don't mind telling you, I have been tempted with that. I'm out with my good-looking wife, and instead of just enjoying her company, I'm drawn to post on social media because for some reason I want others to know how important I am and how beautiful my wife is, and I want them to think that I'm so important that it is actually drawing me out of the situation at hand. Here I am, I'm on the town with my everything, my wife, but you know, I care about this person I've never even met on the internet. I'm going to post them so they can see what kind of life I am living. This would make a great post. What am I doing? Get back to the woman, yo. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I'm doing a charitable work. Maybe I helped someone. Maybe I went to work at the Villaggio. Maybe I went and fed someone. Maybe I just gave someone some foods, Alzheimer care patients, all this stuff. And I'm drawn to post so that everyone will know that I did those things. Now, there's a fine line between people seeing your good works and glorifying God. And there's another thing where you're just seeking the fame, seeking the notoriety, seeking the eyes, seeking the likes and the hearts and the shares and the comments of other people. My goodness, y'all don't have to amen me. I know we're eaten up with it. I know this is an issue. I have put way too much effort in getting a selfie. Guilty. I've done it. Oh, man, that wasn't quite right. My eyes weren't quite right. Good luck and spend like an hour trying to get a decent selfie. Maybe not that much, but several takes. Oh, I want to look more natural. The 15th take. Now I look natural, right? Or just the right caption or the right thing to say. Was that clever enough? Why? I've actually said, wife, do you think this is clever enough? She's like, I don't know. What are you doing? Could it be the pursuit of fame? And am I the only one that has felt this draw? Is there anyone else that has ever worried about what someone else thought, especially in the areas of social media? We've been there. And maybe. You absolutely are not trying to be well-known, broadly admired. Maybe you're a hermit. Maybe you have just come out this day, and it'll be the only day of the week you actually get out of the house. We love you. Glad you're here. Well, I want you not to check out on this sermon either, because the people you care about, the people in your life, they're probably dealing with this pull, and you need to be aware of it and know how to pray. They pulled 10 through 12-year-olds about what their biggest goals were. Do you know anybody between the age of 10 through 12? Anybody raise your hand if you know somebody age of 10 through 12? They polled them. What was their number one goal of 10 through 12-year-olds, it was not financial success. They didn't want to be rich. In China, I believe I read one report, they all want to be astronauts. Every 10 and 12-year-old in China wants to be an astronaut. That's not us. Their goal is not community. Their goal is not world discovery. Their goal is not personal achievement to become a better person. No, their number one goal is fame. 10 through 12-year-olds, the number one they think about is being on the TV, being on a movie screen, being a YouTube star, being a rock and roll star, going on America's Got Talent or The Voice or any of those shows and being, whoa, they blew me away, and that's going to be me. 10 through 12-year-olds, that is the number one goal. Would you agree we got a problem with fame seeking? Would you agree that I'm on the right track today? So y'all preach with me if I'm on the right track. Okay? God. My goodness, you're going to give me a complex. You're staring at me. All right. They polled 22 through 37-year-olds. Anybody know somebody between the age of 22 and 37? You know anybody? Well, 50% of 22 to 37-year-olds in this poll believe that their life should be made into a movie. The other 50% were laughing. Right? I don't know about you. I'm just going to go on the record. They should not make a movie about my life. And I'm okay with that. I am all right with that. Anybody okay with that? Am I the only one? I wonder what kind of movie are they thinking. Are they thinking a horror movie? Are they thinking a disaster movie? That sounds more like lives. But 50% thinks that their life should be made in a movie for others to pay money, watch, know, and enjoy their life. My life is just so entertaining. It ought to be a movie. Can you tell me what this is a pursuit of? It's a pursuit of fame. 1 in 12 people would disown their family to become a household name. 1 in 12 people would just say goodbye to everybody that is in their home to be famous. 1 in 9 would give up their marriage. You listen to me. 1 in 9 in our culture would give up their marriage in order to be famous. 1 in 6 young adults would give up having children in order to be famous. And guess what? You think that percentage is going up or down? Oh, it is going up. The percentage of people that are willing to give up things like children in order to be famous. The carrot of fame is real, my friends. And perhaps we are all drawn by it more than we would like to admit. I want to tell you real quick, veer off to the left here. There is nothing wrong with being famous. Look at somebody say, there's nothing wrong with being famous. Look at them say, I mean, with your good looks, it's inevitable. I mean, goodness. Scott, that beard ought to be famous. That beard ought to be famous. And I'll go so as far as, I've got friends in this room. You guys are so awesome, you really ought to be famous. I'm not even joking around there. I'm not. Now, I need to tell you, there's nothing wrong with being famous. In fact, if you excel in any field, if you become one of the best at any certain thing, if you make a large difference in your community, then fame is almost inevitable. Let's look at the life of David. Anybody hear of David in the Bible? Every hand ought to raise up, or we need to have a Bible study real quick. David was unknown. We remember how he was forgotten. His own dad forgot him when the prophet Samuel didn't call it. He was that unknown. Samuel's like, do you maybe have another kid? God said it's something about a kid, and this is not them. Anybody know that story, right? He's unknown. What was it? He was just a shepherd boy. But his gifts were amazing. His talents were well honed. And his service to the community was off the charts. And the calling of God that was on his life, just forget about it. Big deal was David. He was destined to become famous with the kind of life he was living. David became instantly famous after killing the giant named Goliath. 1 Samuel 18, 6-7. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, and singing and dancing with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." And they're dancing and singing, right? It's quite a sight and spectacle. Who do you think got really mad about that, by the way? Saul was not happy with those lyrics. Like, Saul's kind of lame. David's kind of awesome. Karate Kid move. All right. David didn't ask for this. He didn't. He didn't ask, you know what, could y'all choreograph a dance for me? Perhaps put some lyrics together, and could somebody strum a lyre and somebody play a timbrel and, you know, make me famous? No, he didn't do that at all. He didn't ask for a mob of women to sing about him. He did not. What happened? Well, this fame flowed from good works. Fame flowed from good works, and there's nothing wrong with being famous. Fame is not evil. There is nothing wrong with being famous. In fact, sometimes God can make you famous. 1 Chronicles 14, 16, and 17, also about David. So David, it says, did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land. Say that. So David's fame spread throughout every land. And the Lord made all the nations fear him. Who made that happen?
The Lord.
The Lord. And it all happened because God did as God commanded him. Do you see this? God actually made all the nations know, respect, and fear David. God made David famous. In fact, God made David a promise that he would sit on a throne forever. He's famous, y'all. He's famous. There are many other examples in your Bible of God making people famous. King Solomon didn't ask God for fame and riches. Instead, he asked him for wisdom. And God was so happy with his request that he gave him wisdom. And he also gave him riches. And he also gave him fame. God gave him those things. Moses was called by God from the backside of a mountain in the middle of nowhere to become the famous deliverer who withstood the most powerful man on the face of the planet, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And this nobody, Moses, led millions of slaves to become a mighty nation. God did that. Look at somebody say, God did that. There's nothing wrong with being famous. The disciples followed Jesus, and not only did their Savior become famously known, but they also became known. The Pharisees knew about them, and the townspeople knew who they were. And even governors and kings are quoted as saying something like this, aren't these disciples, aren't these the ones who are turning the world upside down? They were known, y'all. They were famous. In fact, I don't know about you, but did you know this? The New Jerusalem, it's got foundations, and you know whose names are written on those foundations? These disciples. There's nothing wrong with being famous. And then, of course, Jesus himself, utterly famous. He told people, hey, could you be quiet? Don't tell people about this miracle. And those people looked at him and said, uh-huh. And this, he healed me. And then suddenly he's surrounded by people. And he's like, I told you not to. And now he has to go somewhere else because the crowds, it was bigger than Beatlemania. It was huge, y'all. Jesus is a big deal. He was famous. He is famous. He will always be famous. In fact, we're here today because of his fame. Nothing wrong with being famous. Yet, The desire for fame is dangerous to your faith. Can you say that sentence? The desire for fame is dangerous to your faith. All right, so think about this a little bit. Being famous is kind of different nowadays. Would you agree? Oh, yes, it is. It used to be that people became famous because they did something that mattered. They did something significant, right? The walking on the moon, curing a disease, winning a sports championship to become the best in the world, being a war hero, right? That just is almost seems foreign nowadays, doesn't it? To what you see on TMZ. I don't even know what TMZ means. Does anyone know what TMZ means? It means totally miserable zilliness. Now people are famous for simply creating silly or even better, shocking content. If you can't create good content, just create shocking content. Create enough content that enough people hate you that they're going to talk about you, and then suddenly you'll be on TV. Because negative press is as good as positive press, right? You've seen it. Millions of people will watch a live stream of someone playing a video game. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. They're on level 12. Oh, they got the extra life. This is great. This is good. All right. You want anything? I'm going to go to the fridge. No, I can't go to the fridge right now. I'm watching him play this video game. This is happening. It's happening right now. There are people that aren't at church, maybe, because they are watching someone play a video game. Amazing. Amazing. Millions of people will watch a cute kid open toys on YouTube. There are YouTubers that are making thousands of dollars because they buy a toy, they wrap the toy, they have their kid open the toy while they film it. Thousands upon thousands of views, and they put ads on those views, and they're making thousands of dollars. And your kids know who they are. Some of those kids, if you go to Walmart or Target, you'll actually see those kids. They've got aisles dedicated to these are this kid, this cute kid on YouTube. It's their toy. They're famous for doing what? For opening a toy on a YouTube video. Over 100,000 have watched a video of a woman. I can't even describe it. You're going to have to see it. Oh my gosh. It's a woman smashing her face into bread over and over again. Sometimes it's a cupcake. Sometimes it's a loaf. Sometimes it's a bagel. So it's a piece of bread, and she just takes it, and she smashes her face in it. Hundreds of thousands of views. This woman is more famous than any of the videos we've ever put out. This woman is more famous. If you added up all the videos we've ever made in the history of Redemption Church, they don't add up to this video right here. The world's crazy. The world's hung up with fame. And I want to tell you, this desire of fame is dangerous for your faith. These people are famous. Breadface girl, more than 100,000 views. Breadface, that's what she's called. She's got an Instagram too. She's quite the hot Instagrammer. There's one video, it says this, me drinking out of my favorite water bottle. And people watched it and shared it. It's crazy. The world's insane. You can be famous for nothing good. You can be famous for anything. It's not even important why you're famous. It's just important that people know you, that people are watching your video, and people are liking it and sharing. That there's a needle somewhere and it's moving, and that's all that matters. That's what fame is. There doesn't have to be any substance. It has to just be enough style to get enough views, to get people to think highly of it. That's what fame does. Then there's this dude. His name is Alex. He's not our Alex. He's Alex from Target. Anybody remember Alex from Target? This was back in 2014. He's just a simple teenage boy working his first job. He's bagging groceries at Target. A girl thinks Alex is cute, and she takes a picture of him, and she posts it to her followers on Twitter. Alex started the day with 144 Twitter followers. Somebody say 144. At the end of the day, he had over 300,000 Twitter followers. On the next day, he was on CNN. Later that week, he's on Ellen DeGeneres. Alex from Target, just a dude bagging groceries. Someone takes a picture of him, and don't you see that it creates this sensation that, man, my break is just around the corner. If I just have the right picture, if I just have the right caption, if I could just have the lucky break, if the right person could share me like the girl that shared Alex from Target, I could be on CNN. I could be on Ellen DeGeneres. I could be famous. And it leads people on. It leads them on. And there are people that are wasting their life taking picture after picture, updating their blog just to be famous. Is there anything wrong with pictures? Is there anything wrong with a blog? Is there anything wrong with any of those things? Absolutely not. But this carrot that is constantly leading you is completely dangerous for you. It will always either be out of your reach, or you'll actually grab it and find out that it is not worth having. In fact, Jim Carrey, quote from Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, comedian, movie star, insane person. He says this, I think everybody ought to be famous so that they can find out it's not worth it. That's what he says. Fame used to flow out of doing something of value. Now it's just being known for something. Now it is possible to build a following and use that platform to make a difference. That's possible, right? It is. You could become famous and do something with that. No problem with that. But I need to warn you. Like wealth, fame makes it more difficult to follow Jesus. That fame is actually a great burden. Alex from Target became famous in 2014. Today, he is off social media. Why? Because it was too much for him to handle. Many who become famous end up going through counseling because it messes with your mind and it messes with your heart. Fame moves the trajectory of your life. Fame causes you to focus on yourself. What do others think? How many people like me? Is this image good enough to draw an audience? Is this smart? Is this funny? There's something that happens in the world. I've got to make a comment on it because I want to be famous. All these thoughts. The Bible tells us clearly that our trajectory ought to be loving God and loving others. That ought to be our trajectory. That ought to be the life that we are headed towards, that we are constantly loving God more and we're constantly loving others more. Do you agree with me? That should be our trajectory. And your desire for fame takes you completely away from such things. The carrot of fame draws us away from the love of God and others. It draws us to love ourselves above all. There was a guy in the Bible who became very famous. He was a crazy prophet. He wore crazy clothes and he ate crazy food. Anybody tell me who this crazy prophet is?
John.
The Baptist. The Baptist, that's right. He had a crazy message that the Messiah was coming and that all should repent and be baptized. That famous guy, absolutely. It's John the Baptist. He had large crowds of people. And they would meet out in the middle of nowhere to hear his message and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. John the Baptist was hugely famous, but he never lost sight of his true purpose. John chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, he says this, "I baptize you with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. John the Baptist declares the fame of someone else. He stands in the middle of his crowd. He stands in the middle of doing his big act of baptizing somebody. And in the middle of that, he says, "Guys, there's somebody coming that I'm just not even worth tying their shoes. I am not worthy to share the stage with them. I am at my best simply an opening act to get you ready to meet the main act, and he is coming." John does something so powerful. He moves his fame. He moves his notoriety. He moves his achievement off the stage to make room for the true star, Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 30, look at this, what he says. "He must become greater. I must become less." He, Jesus Christ, must become greater. I must become less. Jesus must become greater. I must become less. Willing to become less so that Christ may become greater. Are we willing to become less so that Jesus can become greater? You see, it's all about a question of motive. I want you to examine your motive for a moment, can you? Here's two questions I want you to ask. Who are you representing? Then I want you to ask this, whose approval matters most? Who are you representing? The Sunday school answer is Jesus, right? It's always Jesus, right? It's Jesus every time. But is it true? It's not about getting the answer right. It's true. Who are you representing? Are you really representing Jesus? Or are you representing yourself? The answer for me is often me. I don't know about you. The answer for me is often me. I don't mind telling you. I'm working on it. I often wonder what you're going to think of me. Preparing these sermons, I wonder, oh my goodness, Vicky's not here, but I always worry about Vicky, you know. Vicky, is Vicky going to like me after this? Answer is no every time. Vicky, I hope you get feeling better. We love you. I wonder, oh man, is this sermon series even going to connect with him? Will I lose the younger audience? Will I lose the older audience? Will I lose the singles? Will I lose the marrieds? Will I lose the empty nesters? My goodness, we need to talk about money. How many of them are going to be mad about me? Is it okay, God, if we maybe put that off a decade? Can we put that sermon off a decade? Right, no. These are questions I worry about. This series, are you going to like this series? Sometimes you can worry about these things more than what you'd actually need to hear. That's right. But it's a danger for me. It's a struggle for me. It is a worry for me that I have to overcome. I don't know. I call it Monday. Every Monday I have to overcome the same thing. Every Monday. What will they think if I do this? Sometimes God asks you to do some things that are just not worthy of fame. Let me just tell you. I got to tell you that these are the worst thoughts that go through my mind. These are thoughts that rob me of peace. These are not good thoughts. There's no security in these thoughts. Because every time I come back to these thoughts, worrying about what someone else thinks, it robs me of everything. Because guess what? Actually, I can't control what you think. Man, I've been trying to do that mind control thing. It's never worked. I can't control what you think of me. We've spent most of our life worrying about what people think, and we got no control over that whatsoever. And what you think really has how much bearing on my life? I mean, you're a big deal. I love you, Kathy. Both Kathys right there. Y'all are in one line. I can talk to both Kathys at the same time. Yeah. Kathys, I love both of you. But really, your thoughts about me, what kind of bearing do they have on my life? If you suddenly decided, Chris Fluitt, I hate your guts. I would be sad by that, but I'd still wake up tomorrow. And maybe you'd get over it. Maybe I would make you feel better. But we worry about these things. We worry about what people think, and it has very little bearing on our life. But that's what fame gets us. It's all pointless. It's all fruitless. You want to know what kind of life God called you to live? Well, it's not a pointless life. And it's not a fruitless life. He's called you to purpose. And he's called you to be fruitful. He's called you to do powerful things. He's not called you to lay awake at night and worry, oh my goodness, what will the people at the office think about me if I don't get a new car? If I don't get new shoes? What will people think? God's not called you into that. Representing myself, can I tell you, it's never brought me joy. It's never brought me fulfillment. Putting myself out as the big name, as the headliner, no, it's only driven me crazy. But instead, when I put Jesus first, when I make him the headliner, when I make Jesus the one I'm representing, guess what? That brings me joy. And it brings me fulfillment. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Don't you understand that when you are representing Christ, God himself is like reaching through you and he is doing the work. I want to tell you, I have never felt more powerful than when I have stood up, represented Christ, and it's like God reaches through me and does the work. God reaches through me and ministers to someone. There's never been a joy, there's never been a power, there's never been a peace like it to feel God himself working through me. Oh my goodness. You need to have stories like that. You need to have some story. You got enough stories about you and your shortcomings. You need to have some stories about you stood up for Christ and you felt the power of God. You need to have those stories. You got those stories? If you do have any notoriety, if you do have any name recognition, could we use that notoriety? Could we use that recognition, all that influence, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Who are we representing? But also, whose approval matters most? We know the answer ought to be Jesus. But is it? In worship today, did you spend more time thinking about what God wanted or what would people think? Oh, come on now. I've been in church services long enough. I've been there. I remember this in church. Church would start, everybody would be sitting, and I'd be like, oh, I want to stand up and worship God so bad, but I need someone else to stand up first. Because what will they think if I just do that? Oh, I don't know. They'll think you love Jesus, silly. But I didn't think that. I was worried about what other people thought. When you were worshiping today, was there a moment where you're like, I want to worship God at a higher level, but you know what? The person standing next to me, what will they think? What will somebody else think? Question, who are you? Whose approval matters most? Whose approval matters? When we come to this altar and pray, will you spend more time thinking about what God thinks or what other people thinks? What other people think that you're coming to this altar? What other people think if you actually came and asked for prayer? When we leave here today, whose approval will you seek? Whose approval will you seek in your home? This week we asked you to pray. Did you pray this week, or did you go, well, I don't want to be weird in front of my family, you know, and like it's weird to get down on your hands and knees and pray? Like that's weird. Whose approval matters here? On your job, whose approval matters? In your school, on the internet, the desire for fame is dangerous to your faith. Psychologists say that the desire for fame has roots in injury. That when you desire fame, it's rooted somewhere that you've been hurt or you've been neglected. This is what psychologists say. This fame craving comes from moments where people felt insignificant. There's a place in their life where they felt small, they felt uncared about, they felt neglected, and they felt insignificant. And now, out of response to that, they want to be not insignificant. They want to be significant, and they want to be a big name. But where does it come from? It comes from injury. It's built on injury. Maybe your hard-to-please parents injured you more than you want to admit. Maybe that rejection from your friends is still affecting you today. Maybe that time you were overlooked is not something you really ever healed from. God asks you, examine your hearts, who you're representing, and whose approval matters. Examine your motives. I want to tell you, we're not called to be famous. We're called to be faithful. God will not say, well done, my good and famous social media star. He won't. What does he say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to tell you, probably the biggest star in heaven is going to be Jesus. But do you want to know who else the biggest stars are going to be? Servants. Servants. I got to tell you, I think we're all going to get a kick out of have all the big mega church pastors and all the big televangelists. I mean, I hope we see them at church. I mean, in heaven. I hope. I won't say anything bad about them. But it's too easy. But my gosh. Give me that person that was a servant and didn't care what anybody thought. They just wanted to be approved by God, and they wanted to represent God, and they wanted to serve God, and their whole trajectory was built on loving God and loving other people. Now that's a star in heaven. I'm telling you, that's a star in heaven. That person that wasn't interested in getting a buck, but interested in God, all you've given me, I give it back to you. I give it to someone else. I'm not going to spend my time to lift up my name, but God, let me take my time to lift up your name. Let me work in your kingdom. There's a place in your vineyard, God. I don't care where it is. Put me to work. I want to work in your vineyard. That's the star of heaven. That's a star in God's kingdom. The last shall be first. The least shall be greatest. My God. I may not ever be famous. Doesn't matter. I'm faithful to God, and the God of the universe knows my name. He knows my name, y'all. I may never have the approvals of others. Doesn't matter. I'm faithful to God, and I've got His approval. We're not striving to become celebrities. We are submitting ourselves to become servants, because that is actually the higher position in God's kingdom. He says the greatest of all will be the servant of all. Not living for the applause of the crowd, but living from the love and approval of God. John the Baptist perhaps said it best, less of me, more of him. I become less so he can become greater. I've had many of me. Have you had enough of you yet? My gosh, I've had enough of me. Let me tell you, I don't need to be amplified any. I've had enough of me. I don't need to be on a billboard. I've had enough of me. You know, more of me has never been any good. I got to tell you, y'all shouldn't aim at me so quickly. I'm talking personally. But more of me has never made me happier. More of my name being mentioned has never brought me joy. More of me, but more of God, now that's made me happy. More of Jesus, that's given me comfort. It's given me peace. It's given me life. It's all my shortcomings covered up by Jesus. I need more of Jesus. Have you had enough of you? If you're playing the fame game, you're just trying to have more of you. You're trying to supersize you. You're trying to share you. You're trying to cross-platform you. If I could just get enough posts of me, enough pictures of me, Friend, that's not it. And you will never be happy with that. You'll never be happy with that. More of God, that's where it's at. I'm about to invite you to come to this altar today. I don't want you to think about anyone else's approval. The person you need to represent is here in this altar. I want you to come talk to him today. I want us to come pray with the motive of this verse. We're going to look at this verse. Go ahead and stand. You get yourself ready to come and pray. But we're going to look at this verse right here. It's Psalms chapter 115, verse 1. Would you read this out loud to us? Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness. Could you read it again? Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness. Could you stop it with the carrot? Could you stop it with the desire to be famous? And can you do something over the next few moments that brings no glory to you, but brings glory to the name of Jesus? In the next few moments, I want people worshiping in this altar. I want people turning over all their sin to him in this place. And I want us to have more of Jesus. Have you been the ambassador you're supposed to be? Come right now. Let's take care of this. If you want special prayer, come in the first 2 feet. God wants to meet your needs in this place. And we want to pray with you and see the work of God being done through us and in you. In Jesus' name, I pray for everybody listening, watching online, everybody in this house, God. Lord, I pray for every one of us. Lord, not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. All because of your love. And it's all because of your faithfulness, God. Lord Jesus, let us stop the silly desire of fame that has captured us in this culture, Lord. Lord, let us lift high your name. Lord, let us make your name famous. Let us make your word famous, God. Let us make you the quote that everybody is sharing. Let us make the you picture of you be the quote and the picture that everyone is sharing, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us, God, for the desire to be famous. Lord, forgive us right now for being focused on such silly things. Forgive us for worrying about the approval of anyone else other than you, Father. In Jesus' name, we want to represent you right now, God. And we want your approval above all others in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this place. Come on, let's really surrender to him in this place. Let's really ask him to be greater. And let's ask ourselves to be less right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this place.
My hallelujah belongs.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.